very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am your fingers or your
king.
Doesn't
fingers discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one,
but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffria Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is somebody who's really, really hot. It's Catfish. Catfish, how are you doing on this penultimate episode of Game of Thrones?
I mean, I was so swept up. I have to give it two different rankings.
Holy smokes!
That's how swept up I was swept up in it. I thought there were some things that really bothered me, but in other ways, this episode was really amazing, so I thought it was unfair to give it one rating.
Oh, man.
And also, I can make the rules, so I'm giving it two separate ratings tonight. I mean, I have to say, I'm not like our friend Corey Bramlett, who said, I am still Team Targaryen. Wow, that is, I mean,
all right.
you're still standing for Daenerys after tonight. That is powerful stuff, and I got to say, I appreciate the chutzpah there.
All right, Catfish, wow. Crashfish, you've got me on pins and needles. I want to hear your ranking out of 10 for Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 5.
All right, I am going to give it two separate rankings. First, I'm going to give it 9.95 double Ds for the spectacle of this evening.
Double Ds?
Yes. We all know this is something that's very common. We see it all the time in Game of Thrones. And, of course, double D stands for disregarded dings.
So, in other words, by your lead up, you love the spectacle. Go a bit deeper. Holy smokes, this was a big budget disaster film on TV. What did you think? Why so high?
It was amazing. I mean, as Arya was going through the streets, it reminded me of, like, we're talking about movies like Black Hawk Down. I mean, this was impressive. I can only think that they thought to themselves, you know, this is so great in episode 5. We don't want to outdo it in episode 3, so we're going to really muddy and darken up episode 3's battle. This one was clear to see. It was amazing. I mean, it was just it put you into it, and it was incredible. The spectacle, the battle scenes, amazing. Just amazing.
Okay, well, that's one of your rankings. Let's go ahead and let's have our double L's.
Double L's?
That's our loyal listeners. Catfish, let's give them your second ranking, because this is going to be interesting, I think. Let's hear it.
I'm going to give it 6.5. Something new now.
Okay.
Triple C's.
Triple C's?
Yeah, cracked cranium Qyburns.
Now, Qyburn spells his name with a Q, but sure.
I may be cheating a little bit on that one, but
just a tad.
You know, sometimes you have to cheat. There's two major things. One is we've got a major character, Jaime, who, even though he lasted longer than that, Euron was right. He essentially killed Jaime. Who the hell is Euron to
crazy Uncle Euron
to kill Jaime? In other words, they're like, this is great. You know, we'll have Euron go out and Jaime go out at the same time. There's no comparison between how important Jaime is to the story and how important Euron is to the story. We didn't need to see Euron ever again. My main problem with it, though, and as much as I have been like on the Daenerys is bad train and even defending, you know, some people have been saying like, oh, it's horrible what they're doing to Daenerys, and I'm saying it makes sense. Tonight, to me, made absolutely no sense. Why have her do it after the bell rings? Have her do it without the bell being rung. That's completely fine. It still, from my point of view, would have been really stupid and heartless, but at least it's not completely insane. I have to agree with Lori Kilker, who is on Facebook, who says, Greta looked great, but I can't see her doing that. I don't know what made her go crazy. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, as soon as she started doing that, we didn't see her again in that episode, because it would have been, what, she would have had to have been some crazy cackling, demonically laughing fool. She's not that. I understand she's been pushed over to the edge, but what pushed her over to the edge for people saying, please ring the bell, help and save us? That's what made her go crazy and kill everybody? It made no sense to me. I'm very irritated with the story pieces here. So that's why I gave that a 6.5 for story.
Okay.
Spectacle, amazing. Oh, horrible. So, Bubba, I've wasted enough time. People don't care what I have to say. They care what you have to say. They're like, Bubba is the best. Double B, best Bubba. What is best Bubba? What did he give tonight's episode?
Well, Catfish, I'm not going to give it two rankings, but mine are going to have different shadings. I'm going to go ahead and say that my ranking for this episode is 9 double T's out of 10.
Oh, double T's. I remember those.
They stand for terrible tragedies. What happened tonight and what we've been watching 8 seasons of has been a tragedy. What happened to some of your favorite characters in the first season or the second season or the third season has been a terrible tragedy. And watching tonight, I didn't enjoy it at all, even though I actually thought it started very well and I was on the edge of my seat. But this was a tragedy. And I'm going to go with some people in YouTube here. Dooley's Left Leg, a great double L. They wrote, it was amazing and frustrating at the same time. And I think we're supposed to be frustrated.
See, they agree with me.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I think we're supposed to be frustrated. I think we're supposed to, how could this happen? And I'm going to give it up. I actually thought that the previously on, you know, here on the Joffrey podcast, we always break down the credits of an episode. I actually thought the previously on Game of Thrones, where they had Daenerys showing her in her angry face from last week, but then you heard all those voices, you know, almost in her head, including her brother Viserys from the first season saying, "Don't wake the dragon." It was powerful. I think Emilia Clarke did a great acting job, but this was a tragedy. And I just because I didn't want these things to happen, I don't think I should lower my rating of the episode when it was very well told. It was a well-told tragedy, except, I guess, for some people, having Daenerys have such a harsh turn. I mean, Cersei was the Mad Queen all this time. But Daenerys, she just snapped. And I wish it hadn't happened. I know Dany fans are going to be so heartbroken. But I think this is the tragedy that we've been watching. George Martin called his ending a bittersweet ending. I think a lot of people are like, where's the sweet part? This is just all bitter, all tragedy. I think it was very well done, even if it broke my heart at times to watch it. 9 out of 10, that's my rank.
All right. I mean, I agree with you. It's heartbreaking, and I thought the acting was fine. It's just it didn't make any sense. Well, it's made no sense to me. That's all. And again, I have been all the time. I'm like, I see what's happening with Daenerys. This is going to make complete sense to her. But the whole, like, the people, this is what drove her crazy. The people going, yes, save us, save us, save us. That's when she decided, no, it's completely crazy. All right. So that's that.
Well, that's our general. Oh, yeah. We'll see you next week. No, listeners, we're going to break down every minute of this frustrating, as we keep using the word, episode. But there are some housekeeping things I want to do right at the top. You know, we keep talking about this is the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones. But even if we've given you this impression, this will not be the penultimate episode of the Joffrey of Podcast, first of his name, first in your hearts. We're going to be obviously doing a podcast next week. We're going to try to get one to talk about the Game of Thrones wrap-up show. We might not do it immediately after the wrap-up show, but we'll probably do a quick one about the wrap-up show and kind of how it made us feel. Certainly, we're going to Con of Thrones in July, and we'll probably release some podcasts from that. And we're going to keep this domain healthy. When those prequel series comes out, we are going to jump in and we're going to cover it as well. We are part of Double P Media. You can reach out to us at Double P HQ on Instagram and Facebook, facebook.com/@DoublePHQ, on Twitter at Double P HQ, on YouTube, Lord help you, just search Double P Media. But there are some great TV shows coming out really soon that we might cover. Catfish, do you still have Hulu? Catch 22 comes out on the 17th of May.
It does. It does. I was actually invited to go to that big event where big old George Clooney is going to be there. But you know what? No. I'm snubbing them because they've been snubbing me this year.
Okay.
So first of all, you have to understand I'm going to be really super crazy about that one because to me that is – there are like 3 books that are my top 3 books, and one of them is Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man. And another one is Catch 22. So that is like one of my favorite books. So this is going to be tough.
Right. So
it's going to be tough for me to enjoy it.
We're going to try to do some coverage about Catch-22, about the upcoming Deadwood movie. We've got Dark, the German series on Netflix. Season 2 starts on June 21st. There's The Rook, a show that both Catfish and I read the book for. It's going to be a new show on Stars on June 30th. We obviously might just touch and release one podcast on Stranger Things when it comes out on Netflix on July 4th. And another show we've podcasted about, The Terror. It's coming back for Season 2 on AMC on August 12th. Certainly, we want you to stick around, and we want you double L's to keep enjoying your Sunday nights, your Monday nights, your drive into works, your workouts, whatever you, whenever and however you listen to this podcast here as part of the Double P crew. We want you to be with us. We also,
man, if we are going to do Dark Season 2, I'm going to have to do like when the credits come up for that show and you see all the pictures with all the strings attached to everybody.
Right. Well, we may have to redo. We never actually covered Dark Season 1, so we might have to do a rewatch to remind ourselves how crazy that show is.
It's not even going to help. I swear to God, it's not even going to help.
And let me say, next week we're going to be drawing some names of double L's who've been kind enough to write to us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, and give away our prizes. And one of the ways you can be eligible, if you haven't already, is give us reviews where you download and listen to the podcast. Catfish, we have a new review from iTunes. Why don't you read it for us, please?
All right. This is by Nick01006. He says, or she says, they say, love it. 5 stars. Bubba and Catfish blend together great commentary and humor flawlessly that makes the Joffria podcast stand out among the rest. Nick, the only way that review could have been better is if you remembered to put Catfish first.
No. Nick, you're officially a winner. We also want to do a quick shout out to our season survivors. We've got Shayna Mason, Mary Dillman, the Tomahawk Thrower. Some of these names, I apologize if I mispronounce them. Ermi Mondale.
Abdullah Macapaya.
Very good. Carlos Segura.
Fricoro Gloria Josie. Boycha Kumam. Wow, that's cool.
These are great
June
names.
John Gohatea. I'm going to say the J is silent there. Ethan Barboza. Hannah Hunt. Lori Kilker, who's on Facebook right now providing some great feedback. Jeremy Gonzalez. And the aforementioned Nick01006.
You guys are going to survive Season 8. Not many people are. Double L's, you're surviving. One final thing I want to talk about before we get into this episode. You know, last week we had that scene between Sansa and the Hound where Sansa said that line about, you know, if I hadn't lived through these terrible traumas, I'd still be a little bird. I know a lot of people had trouble with it. We talked about how it might be problematic. We had somebody on our YouTube chat, actually, right after we finished the podcast last week, Jesse C., they wrote, on Sansa's little bird discussion, she's owning her past and accepting it as part of who she is and how it shaped her. Nothing at all offensive or insensitive about that. That's what survivors do. Let me say that here on the Joffrey Podcast, we're just presenting our own opinions. We don't try to judge anybody who loves an episode, who hates an episode. I've had double L's tweet at me and say they've hated Season 8, and it's kind of tough for them to listen to me keep giving everything good rankings. But no, it's just my opinion, and, you know, Catfish's opinion. Nobody's opinion is more important than the others. The main thing is we love discussing this incredible show with you. So write at us, tell us what you think. And without further ado, Catfish, let's get into this. Let's get into this episode.
Let's do it.
If I quit dropping stuff. So I mentioned the previously on. It really got me psyched. So in the previously on, I know not everybody watches it, and sometimes you don't want to watch it because it can kind of spoil you. But boy, this scene, it was the final image of last week of Daenerys being so angry, and they're playing, he has a better claim to the throne, Cersei. Every time a Targaryen is born, a goat, you know, flips a coin. Barristan Selmy talking about the Mad King, Tyrion begging, Olenna Tyrell, be a dragon. Aemon Targaryen, a Targaryen alone in the world is a terrible thing. Viserys, you don't want to wake the dragon, do you? Man, that was great. It got me in Queen Daenerys' mindset, but it definitely told me she wasn't going to be good this episode. And boy, did she have trouble, didn't she?
Well, yeah, I mean, did she have more trouble than the people that she was giving trouble to? Really feels like if you're going to have sympathy for somebody, maybe not her.
You know, this is a tragedy. To see what's happening to Queen Daenerys, it is a tragedy. Let's talk briefly about the opening credits. Once again, this is an immediate reaction podcast. I didn't notice anything new in the opening credits. One thing I thought about since last week is, boy, the show keeps going to Dragonstone. Is there a reason why Dragonstone is no longer included in the opening credits? I didn't notice the difference. But this beginning to the episode, we begin the episode on a close-up of somebody writing a letter blatantly saying, hey, Jon Snow has the better claim to the throne. And it was
and
like,
I knew.
Oh,
I knew
didn't
it was
you
Varys.
Know? Oh, my God.
I knew it was Varys. My question to you, though, was, and it doesn't seem like he got that letter out, who do you think he was telling?
I bet he was trying to do like Stannis did from Dragonstone way back in season two. Season two begins with Stannis sending out letters. Cersei's children are illegitimate. They're not Robert's children. I'm the rightful heir. I bet he was trying to send it to anybody and everybody who's still alive. And it's, you know.
Yeah, but isn't anybody or everybody who's still alive outside of King's Landing getting ready to fight? I mean, the only person who's at home who might care would be Rebecca Glover. He's like, oh, well, this is good information.
Good old Rebecca
He's
Glover.
The only one still home.
The king in the north should wait. I have mail. Hold on. So, Catfish, without just continuing to describe what Daenerys is doing, what Varys is doing, besides putting this little girl in danger, is he right to do it? Is this the right move, in your opinion, from the Master of Whisperers, or as we should now call him, the Master of Crispiers?
Oh, bam. It's the last time I'll be able to say, very well done, Varys, but it means something different this time.
Oh, man, how could he do it? How could he put this little girl in danger? And
he's the one who says, I've served so many kings, and he actually got in trouble for it from Tyrion. You've served so many people. But honestly, like, he is really the breaker of chains. He's done everything. You know, when he goes off to face his death, he understands and you know, not to jump to it, but he says something that's very powerful. And makes sense. You know, he is trying to do the right thing, and he's not blinded the way, strangely, Tyrion seems to be blinded. I mean, I know a lot of people, as I said, are sort of upset with the way characters have been taken past where it is in the books. For me, it's Tyrion, because I always thought he was the smartest and the funniest, etc. And, you know, he has been stubbornly clinging on to his notions of Daenerys.
Shayna Mason in the YouTube chat writes out hashtag Varys was right 2019.
Oh man. And Corey Bramblett says the sad thing is that I was rooting for Danny to burn up King's Landing for years, but they made it clear how it really sucks for all the non-main characters. So now I feel horrible.
Okay, so let's get to evil Uncle Tyrion. Great, you know, this is a really, once again, tragic episode. I think a lot of people are going to have trouble with Daenerys and the tragedy of it. But this beginning part, I was 100% on board. Varys goes to Jon Snow. He's like, I want the right person on the throne. They keep cutting away to these shots of Tyrion watching him. Tyrion goes in and admits to his queen that there's a traitor. Was this the right move by Tyrion, Catfish? I think you have to do it to be a good hand to the queen. You do have to tell it, but, you know, it was just terrible.
Jumping a little bit, but because I'm going to start to say some really nice things about Daenerys. I mean, it's all the time I've been attacking her character, and I felt like, as I said, she was really maltreated script wise tonight. But before that, you know, when Varys tries to talk to Jon, he says something interesting. He said, you know, it's a coin flip. The world holds its breath when a Targaryen is born. And then once again, Jon admits that he's dumb. He's like, I don't understand your riddles. You have to write it down for me, maybe draw pictures. What are you talking about?
So Varys gets out a PowerPoint chart. He's like, okay, step
right,
one.
Right, right. Okay, look. Yeah, that's right. Step one, Targaryen born. Step two, people burn. Step three, prophet.
Jon Snow, could you slow that down? I know nothing. All right, so this is a coin. See how this has one side and this is the other. Well, I love that moment, but let's get back to it. Tyrion.
Okay.
Tyrion is a triple T.
Triple T.
Tattletelling Tyrion. He tattletales. I said, I guess you have to do it if you're the hand of the queen, but is it the right move, yes or no?
I think it if he doesn't, it's malpractice. And in fact, something that I didn't think about last week is that I don't know why, but if he is really believing that he's completely Team Daenerys, no questions the way Varys does, Varys has questions, then she's completely right that he should have said something to her before he said something to Varys. So I'm completely hashtag Team Daenerys here. She's been maltreated by Tyrion. I mean, once again, for like the 75th time, she threatens that she'll kill him if he keeps making mistakes. He never stops making mistakes. I believe it was right to tell her, but I also believe she's completely right. He was right to tell Varys, but he should have talked to her first, I think.
I love, once again, people may not like what happened to Daenerys. I don't like what happened to her, but if that's where the story's going, I'm willing to take my entertainment value.
Yeah, just make it logical. That's all I ask.
Didn't you love this line when she's like, you know, Tyrion comes up, I've got to tell you something. And she goes, someone has betrayed me. And then she is still focused on Jon. He's like, well, no, not Jon. You? No, not me. Grey Worm? No, he's not involved in this at all. Varys has betrayed you. And
yeah,
there was a big deal made in season 7. I think it was the second episode of season 7 in the episode Stormborn where Varys and Daenerys finally have their big discussion. And in that episode, she kept saying, if you betray me, I'll roast you. If you betray me, I'll roast you. If you betray me, spoiler alert, I'll roast you. And she's a woman of her word. Was she right to roast a traitor? I almost want to say yes. Like that move, you can't argue with that move. If this is a world where treason means death, you have to. I didn't have a problem with her doing it. It was a brutal way to go, Dracarys. And that image of Drogon hovering over Daenerys was incredible. I loved it. R.I.P. Varys.
Oh man, so sad, so sad. I mean, you were giving him a hard time, but I think he kept his faith and his principles to the end, and he went out like a boss.
Catfish, did you just do something to your mic? You now suddenly sound like you're in a barrel.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Queen Daenerys, once again, if you do not like the direction the show took Daenerys, look at some of this acting in this scene with Tyrion where she's there in the room with what they call the painted table, that long table that's carved to look like a map of the whole continent of Westeros. And she goes to the window. She looks gaunt. She's beginning to look crazy. And once again, I want to say no watchers of this show want this to happen. But holy smokes, is it perfect. We cut back to Varys.
She really does look bad.
Oh,
she looks bad.
You sound good now, Catfish. Varys tries to burn the evidence. It's a little late, buddy. Then he starts taking off his jewelry. He apparently doesn't want metal with him when he suddenly steps into the broiler. This is powerful. How do you feel about Grey Worm? Grey Worm seems to be carrying chains. You know, Daenerys is the breaker of chains. He's going to put Varys in chains. Holy smokes. Any final thing you want to say about Varys and how he played and seemingly lost the Game of Thrones?
This is another thing where I understand why they did it, but it didn't feel like they did it. They explained it well enough how Tyrion turned from being smart and being like, yes, I want the right thing, to sort of having blind faith in Daenerys that she was not proving. So, you know, I'm kind of unhappy the way the Tyrion thing has gone. And so, of course, because of that, I mean, his moments, his action with Varys made sense, but I'm not sure why it took Tyrion's not a Stark. He's not dumb. You don't need to prove something to him 500 times the way you do a Stark. But we'll see if he's finally gotten the memo this week.
You say that. He seemingly kept believing, despite everybody telling him, you know, Cersei's not going to be, you can't trust Cersei, trust Cersei. Last week, he tried to trust Cersei again and be like, listen, you love your children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so everybody, this is actually very true to life. All these characters kind of hear and see what they want to see, and they're getting left behind. They're getting lit up, or they're being crushed.
But see, that was the
crushed.
Reason why I loved Tyrion as a character, because he kind of grew up despised. He was always watching to see what was really going on. No one was trying to flatter him. No one was trying to make the world flowery. So he was able to sort of you see through all the puffery, and he's lost that in the last couple of seasons in a way that I felt like they should have tried to make it more believable that Tyrion would stick with her as a guy who was super smart. That's
okay,
all.
I understand it. I think, once again, through this part, and so we're about 14 minutes into the episode, I'm not sure Daenerys has really done anything wrong. We have a short scene between Daenerys where she hands Grey Worm the chains that Missandei was in. And she's like, you know, it seems to be Daenerys is telling Grey Worm, do you want this memento of your girl? And Grey Worm just takes it and throw it on the fire. If we've got, you know, let's be fair here. If we're calling her Mad Queen Daenerys, is this Mad Unsullied Grey Worm? Should we call him Mad Grey Worm?
I want to pitch something else because we know that Daenerys is the breaker of the chains. And so that makes Grey Worm the burner of the neck cuffs.
Oh, how sad. Somebody's agreeing with you here on the YouTube chat, Shana Mason, saying Tyrion lost his clever. Well, that happens to you when you sober up. So folks, just keep... Okay, so
oh boy.
Grey Worm leaves and in comes traitor number two, Jon Snow. What in the world is going on with Jon Snow? He keeps saying, I don't want the crown. I love you, but obviously it's a different type of love. He can't keep kissing her. Is it the fact that she's his aunt? You know, we don't have a great insight into Jon Snow's brain. Is there any way that if he really loved her, he could pull her back from the brink of insanity?
I mean, I guess you can pitch her going crazy as maybe she's like, is that John saying don't do it? I'm really mad at him right now, so I'll burn everything down. I'm not quite sure that he could in any case. But once again, you point out something that the show hasn't handled very well, and that is why does he feel this way? There's no one like, oh, that's gross. I mean, obviously that's like the worst ever. If like Sansa's like, oh, that's gross. There's nothing really like he loves her. It feels like he has seen that like rules and law. I don't know, whatever. I was going to say he's seen that rules and laws don't always apply. But again, he's a double S.
Double S?
Yeah, stupid Stark. And so
well, he's a double D.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a double D.
No, double T.
A double T.
Okay, I got to edit this out so people enjoy it. He's a tardy Targaryen.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'm editing that. That was terrible.
Okay, take it out. So again, the show really feel like hasn't given us a good reason why this is really bothering him. I mean, I know they're marching towards the end, but like, this is the relationship everything was sort of heading to. I feel like, something we're going to get to later. There was a lot of, this is why I gave this for story. I gave this a very low score because Corey Bramlett again says, was Cersei really pregnant? It's kind of a futile question now anyway. And it shouldn't have been a futile question. Like all these things that seem like they were important are now, I guess, were red herrings because, again, it didn't matter whether she was pregnant.
It did matter why she was pregnant. I think it did matter. I think I'm going to actually point this to the fans. All the fans were the one who said, oh, I think she's lying. I think she's lying. The show never told us she was lying. The show never even really hit us from she was lying earlier this season. Somebody said, oh, is she really? Tyrion said, is she really telling the truth about being pregnant? Jaime said she's really telling the truth. So I kind of think people who went down that path,
they didn't trust her because she's completely untrustworthy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if everything on the show is telling you that she's telling the truth, you know, you're right. Tyrion keeps messing up, so why trust him? So I want to real quickly, Daenerys and Jon Snow, that scene ends with her saying, you know, people love you. Nobody's ever loved you like that. Not loved me like that on this side of the ocean. Let it be fear then. And then,
she's hurting. I know she's hurting. Oh. The one thing she should be able to do, because she's seen it over and over again, and, you know, I say this is to Jon Snow's detriment that he has that horrible Stark trait of, like, when he says something, he means it, and he has the honor behind it. The one thing she should know is that he's definitely not going to go against her unless she does something really horrible, but she doesn't care.
Okay, so the next scene is Tyrion trying to get his queen to be like, listen, this is the, what I'll call the bell plan. If you hear bells ringing, they've surrendered. Don't burn the city. Save the city. Save the people you've come to save. And of course, she seems like she's going to go along with this plan. But then as he's ready to leave, she mentions, oh yeah, your brother, who was supposed to be on our side, having left Cersei's side, we caught him trying to sneak past our lines. Oh, how do you think Tyrion feels when he hears this? Oh, not good.
It's not good, but it brings up an important point. I mean, number one, I mean, he only has one hand left, and he has a problem every time he gets captured. He loses a hand, so we know he's in trouble. he's going to end up being the Black Knight from Monty Python. You know, I thought the very last thing that he was going to do was go to join to be with Cersei. This is a strange turnabout for the character, and we talked about it last week. I mean, I guess the thing that I completely disabused you of was that he was going down there to talk to her, which I think is actually what he was going to do. But it's a strange turn for him to have had this sort of character awakening and a change, and he's like, yep, never mind, I'm going back. So
well,
I don't know.
If he believes she's pregnant, now, you know, once again, we know how this story ends up, so it's kind
of... You're the only one who believes she's pregnant.
Yeah, I should point out that in the YouTube chat, Joel writes, Cersei was drinking wine a couple episodes ago. In his mind, the show made it clear that this was a no-no to drink wine. The show kind of made it unclear. Okay, you know what? Joel, you've convinced me. I flipped to your side on this issue.
How about that?
But
the show's
Jamie...
been more clear about drinking wine than incest.
This show brought to you by AA. In Alabama. So, you know what? But I'm going to say this. You know, to relitigate last week's Jamie's decision. Jamie, if you're Jamie and this woman you believe to be pregnant with your child, this woman you've lived your whole life, and then you're in Winterfell and you hear Sansa say, oh man, I always wanted to be there when they executed your sister, aka the woman you've loved your whole life who's pregnant with your child.
Right.
I think that's hard to, you know, I've only been in that situation a couple of times, but but I think that's a hard...
You can only go judge yourself.
Well, all right. So Tyrion goes to shore. Jon goes to shore. They go to meet up with the troops. Davos is there. Tyrion is immediately, he's scheming. He's plotting. He's politicking. He pulls Davos aside. You're the best smuggler there is, right? Why is Davos going along with this? He's like, I've seen what happens to traitors. Get me out of here. Ooh. But he's trying to get Jaime into the city. And sure enough, he unlocks Jaime and lets Jaime go. Tyrion was going to do the ultimate traitor thing and let Cersei and Jaime escape. So I guess we respect him for that, right?
I mean, we do for his stated reason, which we believe, which is if you can get Cersei out, then everyone will look around and go like, okay, let's just ring those bells. And he thinks that a lot of innocent people are going to be saved. Little does he know that ringing the bell is basically like Pavlov's dogs. It enrages Daenerys.
Right, the mad
whenever
bells.
Whenever she hears bells, she immediately does a dragon attack.
While Tyrion is freeing his brother and having a real nice goodbye with him, Arya and Sandor ride up, and this one guard's like, who is you? Who are you? Who are you? How could you get in here? And I was really missing our season 8 character, Hank, for everybody who listened to our character countdown.
Oh, Hank.
Didn't you think Hank would have been perfect in this scene with Arya and the Hound?
Hank would have been great. Let me just say one more thing about that. I need to say one more thing about the Jaime Tyrion scene, because honestly, that was the most emotional I got during the episode. That really touched me, their brotherhood and what they meant to each other.
Yeah, and was... How about this? Once again, everybody watched the show. Everybody knows what happened. Was this a wise move? Was this a wise... Didn't end up working out, but was this a wise move by Tyrion? If Daenerys had obeyed the bells, Cersei could have escaped. Or do you think Cersei wasn't going to leave until it was helpless?
Well, let's just remember this. Cersei's real true only power is that she holds King's Landing. It's not like there's a lot of love out there for her in the world. So it's not like if he lets Cersei go, she's going to be able to reconfigure an army or anything. Once she's out, she's deposed. She's going to go to what? They say she was going to go to Pentos. I mean, you know, they were just going to have to live on the beach somewhere, Ferdinand and Imelda Marco style.
As long as they got the shoes, as long as they got the
shoes. I love it when I make references that are 30 years old.
Right, and then I recognize them and try to make Mel DeMarco's shoes jokes. That's the kind of content you can only get here. That's why so many people unsubscribe.
Yeah. They want to hear about how I was living in Hawaii when Ferdinand and Imelda moved in.
Nobody does. So you got emotional when the two Lannister boys said their goodbye to each other for the final moment. So unlike episode 3, which honestly I was pretty much a battle the whole way through, here we're about a half hour into the show. Finally, sunrise has come. There's this beautiful composite taking real landmarks from Dubrovnik and then combining them with, you know, digital compositing. We see the Iron Fleet. Boy, if there was ever a more doomed fleet of ships, it's the Iron Fleet, huh? Boy, you could tell that this just wasn't going to work good. And Daenerys...
Only because it was the next to last episode could I tell that. The fact that
good point.
She was able to lose a dragon last time would look like less ships, and this time she was able to take down every single big-ass arrow with one dragon only works if it's the next to last episode.
No, I worked so well. I should say I watched this episode with three big Game of Thrones super fans, and one of them was yelling, Caroline, she was yelling, oh, get him, dragon, save the dragons, take him out. She was still on Team Daenerys at this point, which I think we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to like these evil... the evil Iron Fleet or the Lannister soldiers.
We're still on board with Daenerys. I mean, there were some things early in this episode that put me more on board with Daenerys. And listen, if I wasn't on board with Daenerys, I wouldn't have been outraged by what I thought was the incomprehensible heel turn they gave her in this.
Okay.
So I was definitely Team Daenerys for sure.
Now, one thing, you know, I do not want to attack the peasants, like I'm apparently about to attack the peasants. But, I mean, peasants, you were running into the city that was about to be under attack. Run the other way.
That was Cersei's plan, was to move everybody into the city so that, you know, they're a defense. Now, again, this doesn't help against a crazily enraged dragon queen, but also it made me think, like, the smart strategy is, if you are taking a lot of people into the city, the smart thing to do is surround the city so supplies can't go in, and then it becomes like a powder keg in the city because there's not enough resources to go around for all those people. The smart thing to do is cut them off and wait them out, and then they might do what – was it Varys or Tyrion was suggesting? I think it was Tyrion who suggested, like – let's go wait outside and let's let the people revolt. But you got to give them time for things to get uncomfortable. Like when that uncle that you hate is sleeping on your couch for like the seventh straight day. And then you're like, that's it. I am revolting.
Are you saying that's what Uncle Euron was doing when his older brother Balon was king of the Iron Islands? He's crashing on the couch.
So that was one thing. I mean, again, you know, whatever. You know, Daenerys is going to do what she's going to do, but it seems to me that that would have been the smarter plan.
Let me say that you love the spectacle of this.
Oh my God.
They have these great shots of the Golden Company coming out. They have Jaime sneaking in. They have Arya and the Hound sneaking in. These incredible shots that, you know, they really built a lot of this stuff. They would build these walls and then they digitally extend them. They're obviously digitally manipulating all these people. And this is a blockbuster. We are getting this blockbuster as a weekly enjoyment. Listen, it really is incredible.
It's beautiful. Except I think I think you misspoke. I think after this battle, they renamed the gold company to the they had to choose a different color in the Crayola box, and they chose burnt umber.
I thought they could be renamed the smelt company. Oh, once again, what is Cersei thinking? I almost think this episode needed more Cersei. Cersei is the real evil queen. Cersei has always succeeded, and Daenerys is right about that. Cersei has always succeeded by going lower than her enemies, thinking her enemies won't kill innocent people, where Cersei did when she blew up the Sept. And yet this is, you know, Daenerys was like, I am not going to fall prey to your, you know, to your silliness. Now, did you appreciate that the show kind of kept focusing on this one woman and her child in Arya's journey through the city? So as they're trying to get into the Red Keep before they close the door, Arya notices this woman and her child seem to be a through line through the episode. Just another way to show that, oh boy, it's really going bad. Did you like this woman? Did you like that they were giving us the point of view, the POV chapter, if you will, of the common King's Landing resident? What did you think about this woman?
I think it was important, but even before we ended up following those people, we saw a whole bunch of people off to the side. At some point, I saw one of the persons who'd been burned, and to me it looked like it was a woman who was pregnant, and it was just, I mean, it was brutal. So I mean, it helped to have this one group, and especially when you see, you know, Arya tries to pull the girl, and then the girl kind of tugs her, so she leaves, and then she sees the girl, you know, all crispified. I mean, oh, it's powerful. Listen, for the sheer spectacle of tonight's episode could not have been better, both technically and emotionally, for me. Just amazing.
Now,
better writing. That's all. Their directing was amazing.
Let me say this. I shouldn't laugh so much, but one scene in the episode that did make me laugh, Jaime didn't get into the Red Keep in time. And so,
no, he was in the SRO section.
Standing room only, burning room only. But I also loved how he was like trying to get in, and he thought, well, what's the one thing I can do to get in? Golden hand. I'm the dumbest Lannister. Here I am. But it didn't succeed. And so I think a lot of people, especially book readers who are very obsessed with their prophecies about the Valonqar, are thinking, oh, Jaime didn't get in. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Arya? Who's it going to be? And so right now, finally, once again, like I'm saying, this episode is almost half build up for the battle. But here on my DVR, it looks like we're about 36 minutes into the episode. Finally, we go back out to the Iron Fleet. Euron is suspecting something, and he's ready for a fight. I know a lot of book readers also, I should say, don't like Euron. I know a lot of show watchers don't like Euron. I certainly like his bravado. I thought it's been a fun type of character. When you have, you know, hundreds of characters like Game of Thrones does, it's fun to have somebody who has a new take. But this was just a doomed Drogon. What an incredible shot. Drogon is diving into hundreds of ships that must all have these scorpions on them. The Mad Queen Daenerys, she doesn't care. She's going to have a floating she's going to have floating barbecue. She's going to barbecue some Kraken. And it's incredible. These shots are unbelievable.
They saved all their money for this episode. I mean, you know, every time you say something, I'm going to say, yes, that was amazing, as long as you don't talk about plot.
Okay. Well, were you happy that Uncle Euron seemed to be able to jump off the boat before that boat became like a Carnival cruise line?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Was him getting off the boat and landing on the shore spectacle or plot?
Oh, interesting. I think
it was plot, and that's why I hated it.
Hold on. I'm not disagreeing that that's how you felt about it. But if I accepted, and I did, Davos, if you remember season 2 when he got blown off the boat from wildfire, and that was wildfire right next to him, I'm willing to accept that somebody could have survived that.
My problem is this. My problem is, and see if I can draw a comparison that makes sense. Let's say that Hot Pie killed Qyburn.
Yeah.
Hot Pie's been a character. He's been around for a while. But you wouldn't say that, like, Hot Pie is important enough to kill Qyburn. Like, you want to see Qyburn die a better way. And to me, to have Euron essentially kill Jaime, I mean, afterwards he says it. This was hilarious when he's like, I killed Jaime Lannister, which is amazing, except for the fact that, yes, he was one-handed when you did it. So maybe not to brag too much. Other than that, I was just like, this can't be the way Jaime goes down. And obviously, you know, what part of Euron killing him, almost killing him, changed what his journey was through this episode?
I would say the only thing that I liked about it was that these two were together. I liked the fact that Euron went down kind of as he lived, a cocky SOB, you know, an Ironborn. I kind of believe that's how an Ironborn would go down. And I did love the shock of it. Like, once again,
it may be a
hollow shock, but I want to say that in this room, when Euron got that first stab in, like, everybody went, oh! And so,
could if it's Grey Worm. Again, Hot Pie killing Qyburn. That's what this was for me. Hot Pie killing Qyburn. Like, Hot Pie doesn't deserve to kill Qyburn. Euron's not important enough. It's not. This is too. It's too. To have them come together earlier and fight and whatever is fine, but not for Jaime's ultimate death. It be Euron. Well, that's like fan service. Like, oh, we want to see Euron die. Well, let's put him with Jaime.
Oh, I disagree. I don't think any fan is gonna like the idea of this, and so I think they're really gonna be. You know, I think people are going to be upset, saying, what in the world's going on here? I think a lot of fans are actually going to react like you did, Catfish. I didn't love it, but like I said, I didn't love a lot of the show, but I kind of respected it. This is a tragedy. This is kind of how tragedies would go down. And so even that scene of Euron stabbing and, you know, putting Jaime on a death watch, it was powerful. It was a tragedy. And so it felt a piece of the show. Let me say that. Once again, listeners, who cares what we think? We want you to write in at @PHQ on Twitter and tell us.
All I'm saying is this.
Wait, are you disagreeing? Hold on. Are you disagreeing with what I said?
I listened to you very carefully. I learned lots of things from you. And we used to do improv. There was an improv form called Movie, and where you would do a movie. And your big thing was always like an important person has to be taken down by another important person. It has to come together. And so for me, that's what's missing here, is that somebody not important enough was the one who took down Jaime.
I just think in your opinion, which I'm not disagreeing with your opinion. Your opinion is your opinion. You're saying your Uncle Euron is the equivalent of Hot Pie. I just respectfully disagree. This could be a Twitter poll. Everybody write us on Twitter.
I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but again,
oh really? You know, oh, you are? Yeah. Oh, I couldn't tell.
Just a touch. Just think, if Hot Pie had killed Bot Qyburn, how much less satisfied you would be than him getting his skull crunched.
Okay, well, we've had some people already write in the chat that Qyburn's death was the best. So let's get something we agree on. Didn't you love Qyburn's death? Oh,
well, wait.
So good.
Before we do that, and I know you're kind of in charge of where we're going, can we talk about Arya and the Hound's conversation before the Hound, before we Clegane Bowl?
All right, but just because my monitor happens to be frozen, you know, I paused it on this one image, the image of the Golden Company, and they're like, what's going on behind us? What's going on behind us? And that gate blowing open was incredible. And so, but we'll get to Arya and the Hound in a second, because I actually thought that was another great exchange. I love that it happened. But what was funny is this leader of the Golden Company, they never said his full name on the show. They called him Captain Strickland, but his name is Harry Strickland. So he gets blasted out. The Golden Company, as you said, becomes the burnt, what'd you call him again?
Burnt Umber.
The Burnt Umber Company. They are just toast. And so you suddenly see this Harry Strickland laying down, and he's getting up. and all Daenerys' forces are charging at him. And so somebody watching with us, Jack, goes, oh, is he going to get the Jon Snow? I'm going to stand up and bravely face all these horses charging at me. But no, he turns around and runs like a chicken, like we all would, like we all should. Hell, he shouldn't have gotten it up. He should have laid down and played dead. He might have been okay. But Grey Worm takes him out with a stab to the back, and it is on. So, okay, let's ignore some of the battle for right now. You mentioned it. Take us to the Arya and Hound scene later on in the episode.
Okay, this was another thing that this is not as huge as the other stuff, but Arya had a plan here. I'm not sure why she should be disabused of this plan. And frankly, if I was Arya and the Hound said to me, you should leave now or you'll die here, you know what my response would have been to him?
What?
I would have said, excuse me, are you the one who killed the Night King? No? Then maybe you should leave, because I am walking death here, pal. I am death. I am 5 foot flat of death.
Okay, now, so you dislike that scene? I want you to state it clearly so you don't have to say again. Just state how you felt about that scene.
Yeah, I didn't. After everything she's been through, all the death, etc., like that, I just didn't buy her turning around.
Okay,
she could have easily killed Cersei, by the way, after she just kind of slipped by the Hound.
Oh, that's
a funny moment.
That's true.
Excuse me, this is not. I'm not a part of this, right?
Okay, I actually loved that scene. It was one of my favorite scenes in the episode. The Hound, his whole life has been obsessed with revenge. Arya, pretty much since the end of season one, has been obsessed with revenge. I honestly believe one of the messages that George R. R. Martin is trying to get across in his tale is how dangerous and deadly and pointless revenge can be. And so the fact that the Hound and Arya, who were antagonists for so long but have built this incredible relationship, the fact that the Hound told Arya, no, look, you've got to give up the ghost. It isn't worth it. You are going to die here. I love you. I don't want you to die. I loved it so much.
I understand, too. I thought it was sweet, the emotions between them. I would just like them to make me believe that she got a good reason to give up what she's been wanting for so long. I didn't see a reason in that scene.
Apocalypse?
There's no reason for her to be like, I could completely agree with you.
Jack.
I'm so close to my goal, but I'm going to turn around now.
I respectfully disagree. Listeners, once again, settle this. We've stated how we feel. We want you to talk about how you feel. Let's get back to Catfish, probably the defining moment in the episode.
And what, you mean in the series?
In the series.
Qyburn's death.
No. Well, you know what? Let's hold off Qyburn's death because it's so fun. I think it's something we can both agree on and love. I want to get back to the defining moment in the episode, and I think you're actually probably right, the series. It is the Bell plan. We've seen Daenerys. So far, we're totally on Daenerys' side. All she has done is shoot soldiers. All she has done is, you know, take out weapons. So far, she has tried to do the right thing and not damage innocent people. And so this is really 48 minutes into the episode, 47 minutes into the episode. The Lannister soldiers have dropped their swords and the bells are ringing. Did you think that Daenerys was just going to say, screw it, light him up? How did you feel at this moment when the bells are ringing?
Yeah, because I didn't think she was – because even though the show showed her as upset and frustrated and at her wit's end, it didn't up to this point show her as completely batshit crazy out of her mind, psychotic.
I have to say that why am I 9 out of 10 on this episode? Call me crazy. I actually thought she might not do it. I had doubt. And that's what all the show really wanted. The show wanted us to think. The show wanted us to be in Jon Snow and Tyrion's shoes and wondering, is she going to do it? Is she going to do it? Is she going to do it? She ended up doing it, and it became an utter massacre, an utter disaster, a terrible tragedy, as I said at the top. But that moment where we're all waiting for it, I thought it was powerful. Okay, Catfish, you are not making any sound, so I think you've lost us again. Can you hear me? I don't know what you're doing with your setup, but you keep changing things. So, Catfish, we have somebody, John R., on the YouTube channel writing, Catfish wiggling is a WW, wiggling wires. That's true.
Well, yeah, no, I was doing it because I got the huge hum, and then I was trying to plug it into the headset. I can't hear. The thing is, I can't – when I move it over to the iPad – I mean to the Apple computer, it doesn't even – I can't even hear it now. So I'm sorry. I'm just – going to do all the best I can from now on. I don't know what's going on right now.
Okay, everybody, if you are a sponsor and want to reach out and get Catfish a setup that will work, let us know. All right, so Catfish, what I said, you ready?
Yep.
Here we are. Once again, I'm going to bring it up on the DVR, on my DVR, mm-hmm. which admittedly recorded the promo for Watchmen before it. We're at 46 minutes and 29 seconds into the episode.
Holy cow.
And this is when the bells are ringing out, and Daenerys is going to do it. And to give the show its credit, even if all of us think this turn for Daenerys has been really tough, at that moment, I was like Tyrion. I was like Jon Snow. I was like, is she going to do it? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Admittedly, in the back of my head, everything they had set up, it felt like she had to do it. But even then, I didn't know she would go this crazy, that she would go this bad, this brutal. And it, once again, I didn't like this tragedy that was happening, but it was powerful, and it was a very strong show to watch. I think you had said, I just want you to reaffirm it, that mm-hmm. when the bells were ringing out, you knew Daenerys was going to barbecue this place.
I mean, I didn't – that's not the way that I felt. I actually felt like I had some moments of like, oh my God, Daenerys is going to be on the throne. I really thought she wouldn't do it. She's looking around because, you know, I just because of the amazing accents, et cetera, I always have the subtitles on. And there was like 30 people saying, ring the bells, ring the bells, ring the bells. And then I thought if they had not rung the bells and she'd have done it, I would have understood. But there was the people saying, help us, save us, save us, save us. And she's hearing that. And to me, I thought like, okay, finally she's reflecting on what she'd heard in other cities, the cities that she saved when she was the breaker of chains. And I thought she's crying. I honestly thought she was crying because it appealed to her nature. And to her better nature. The thing that I did say that I'll repeat again was that they could not show her face for the rest of the episode because she went so crazy it would have been ridiculous. I bet they have shots that they were like, oh no, this is just too crazy. We gotta take this out. It's weird we did not see her for the rest of the episode because it's weird they had her go so crazy after the bells were rang and after she heard innocent people saying save us, save us.
I want to give a shout out to, we had a brief shot. It wasn't identical, but it looked so much like the vision Bran had of the dragon flying over King's Landing. Now, the dragon is flying towards the Red Keep, and you still think, well, okay, she's just going to burn the castle. She's just going to burn the castle. But then at a certain point, she unleashes the fire. Holy smokes. They built a replica of one of these onion domes that are in Dubrovnik in their set in Northern Ireland, in Belfast, and then they burnt it. And this was so heartbreaking. And then once Daenerys goes insane, once again, the mad Grey Worm. Grey Worm, these soldiers have put down their swords. Grey Worm doesn't care. They killed Missandei. He's going to get his revenge. This is how ugly revenge is. And Grey Worm starts the fighting over again. Jon can't even stop the Northern men from going and getting in on this. This was
no, but, and this is an important point. Grey Worm does note John's reluctance.
Oh yeah, no, you are absolutely right.
He is going to go back and tattle on to Daenerys. He's going to be like, "Your boyfriend, complete wuss, sympathizer."
Right. Now, one moment in this, John did have a slowdown, but in some of this fighting, Grey Worm will see John even after, quote-unquote, the bell's rung. John is going to slice down a bunch of Lannister soldiers. But it is, oh, what a waste. What a waste this is. What a waste of human life. Jon Snow goes so far as to, is that a northern soldier who's going to take advantage of a woman in this city raiding?
I think so, yeah.
And Jon Snow tries to prevent it, and then he's just had enough. Jon Snow kills a northern soldier. The king in the north should kill in the north.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's brutal. And I probably have like three more notes for the rest of the episode. The rest of the episode is just stunning. I mean, once you say to yourself as Catfish, okay, that made no sense to me, but you just sit there and see whatever everyone's experiences and the effects. It's just stunning. It's a stunning, jaw-dropping spectacle.
Speaking of spectacle, let's get to it.
Qyburn.
But before that, there's, of course, the moment on the stairs. Qyburn has finally... Once again, I loved Qyburn. I think a lot of show watchers, even as evil as Qyburn is, a lot of show watchers have loved Qyburn. He finally gets Cersei. He's like, listen, we got to get down. We got to get down. This is too dangerous. She finally agrees, and they come down the stairwell. And there is the Hound blocking their path. This was a great moment, I thought. This was great. What did you think about the Hound? He wasn't going to be denied.
I mean, it was great. It's what we've been waiting for. And I love that there are some things that triumph over being resuscitated from the dead and being mind controlled. And that is anger at a sibling.
Right. Like, I'll do anything you want, but if you try to prevent me from killing and injuring my brother, screw you. So how much of the Hound is still in there? He felt more like a programmed robot in a lot of way, but he isn't. He's willing to disobey his master. And do we want to give it up for Qyburn? First appeared in season 3, episode 1, where Talissa Stark comes up to him, who had just married Robb Stark. He's there, injured in Harrenhal, and she says, "You're lucky to be alive." And Qyburn says, "Lucky? He's not so lucky anymore. He went out stone cold." Oh. And in my viewing experience, everybody just almost cheered. You know, nobody wanted Qyburn to get it, but everybody was like,
amazing.
If you're going to die on Game of Thrones, that's a great way to go.
It was amazing. And following hard upon that, there were two bits that I thought were funny, but I thought, and I enjoyed them and I laughed, but I thought they were inappropriate at this point in the episode.
Well, was one of them Cersei's, "You guys seem busy, I'll..."
Yeah, right. This is between you guys, right? Whoops a daisy, she does a little skirt by, and then it was before they really started mixing it up, and the Hound gave his exasperated, like, "You gotta be kidding me," like arms up in the air.
Right.
To the mountain. So,
This mountain, he's looked terrible before, but he needs to rock the beard again. This is a face that only a mother could kill. I mean, he's looking rough. Holy smokes. This poor mountain.
I mean, he's good from far, though.
Right. He's like, you know, put me in a dark scene and the ladies don't mind so much, but suddenly the sun's out. Look at me.
Oh man, I know it was a magnificent fight between the two of them. I mean, you knew the Hound was not going to escape with his life. But the other thing that was fun was, you know, many of us are well versed in zombie movies, so of course we go, okay, finally you got him in the head. He's okay. That's it. You're done. And then. And then the mountain starts pulling out, and you're like, oh, God. No, so the Hound does the only thing he can do. And the Hound, he finally able to get real revenge because the mountain burned his face when he was a kid, and now the Hound burned the mountain's entire body.
He did. Let me say that when the mountain was doing his infamous Oberyn Martell move by sticking his thumbs into the Hound's eyes, oh, that was tragic.
Oh, God.
Do we want to? We gave a lot of love to Qyburn. Do we want to say any last words, any last rites for the Mountain and or for Sandor. It was actually one of the things I liked about Arya's scene with Sandor is she didn't call them the Hound. She said Sandor. And so I thought that was another nice moment between them. But anything about these two characters you want to say, Catfish?
No, they went out the right way. Hot pie didn't kill either one of them.
You know what? You keep assuming. We didn't see where they fell.
Hot pie's down there with a tray. Guys, croissants. Then they land safely, and then they die of heart disease 20 years later.
We have somebody in the YouTube chat saying that Sandor had a total Darth Vader move. He's like, I'll throw you down the abyss, Emperor Palpatine, and then I'll die too. Of course, Darth Vader didn't have to go down the shaft himself either. Oh, the Hound.
Well, now,
so afraid of fire, and he's totally burnt.
Corey Bramlett in the Facebook feed used the perfect word, said, I love how Cersei just scuttered. That is a perfect word for what she did.
Let me say that I'm going to copy that move. If I'm if I'm ever in that situation, I'll just scutter. Scutter to the left, a scutter to the right. Now, what did you think when Cersei finally saw Jaime and their reunion? Were you moved? Did you like the emotion of that? Cersei has been evil, evil, evil. This sounds terrible, but for all the people she's killed, certainly anyone could argue that she deserves death. But this was a sad death for an evil queen, Cersei, don't you think?
You know what? I mean, again, only if you're a stupid Stark and believe that she was actually genuine at the end. Up until the very end, I didn't believe she was genuine. That just goes to show you how much she's had her turn on everybody. I thought if she could stab Jaime and somehow throw his body into the rocks to dislodge rocks, she would have. I didn't buy this for 1 second. It's strange. It's either me, either I'm heartless, or they just didn't do a very good job of having us believe it.
I could say both can be true.
Both can be true. That's the third option.
Well, I think this season has suffered from a lack of Cersei because this actress is so wonderful. The character is so rich that even if we believe she's an evil queen, we've kind of enjoyed her evilness from afar.
Yes.
And so you're right. This is such a hard turn. She begins the episode so happy and so smiling. Dead. Let's give him a toast. I think Lena Headey, to me, has always been the best actress on this show. And what the fact
a cockroach that scutters. Cockroaches are almost unkillable. And right. I thought that Cersei was unkillable. And so, honestly, I just didn't. Their reunion should have meant something, but I just didn't believe it. I didn't understand Jaime's turn. And then Cersei at the end felt like she's such a manipulator. She was still kind of looking for a way out. So, I mean, honestly, if I believed the two of them in that scene, it would have been really emotional for me. But I didn't. So, heartless.
As always, Catfish, you can be heartless and wise. Listeners, I've said it so many times. We are on Twitter at @PHQ. We want you guys. We want you guys to go and write on our Twitter page, on our Facebook page, on our YouTube page. We want to know how you guys felt about this episode, how you felt about a goodbye to Twincest.
It's always so sad, especially because, you know, that's the last positive role model for incest on the show.
Right. Okay. So Arya has a survival story. Suddenly, you know, they were talking about the episode 3 of this season being a survival horror movie. This is kind of just flat out survival. Arya is in deep dew. Yes, she could kill the Night King, but obviously, the Night King didn't use his dragon well enough. If this is the kind of destruction a dragon could do, you know, all right, you know, Queen Daenerys could have taught the Night King a whole lot of stuff, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, she should have. Which, I mean, to me, well, I've got some thoughts, but let's save it till the end when we talk about what we think is going to happen next week regarding Arya and Daenerys.
Oh, wow. How many people do you think are going to want Arya to kill her? I'm sorry. It's such a rich plot you're tossing at me. I thought there was a chance Arya might try to kill her in this because, you know, Arya seems to scramble up some stairs. And I thought, oh, my God, what if Arya's on her move to kill her?
You know, what's funny is I've seen some criticism and I kind of believe it. is that the thing about the writers on the show is they like to pull away from a lot whenever they have a chance to pull away from kind of like the fantastical supernatural elements on this show. As a result of that, I felt like Arya could have been doing some things while wearing different faces, and she hasn't. So my real question is not whether Arya's going to kill Daenerys, but whose face is she going to be wearing when she kills Daenerys?
All right. Well, whose face should – you don't think Jon should be the one to kill Daenerys?
That would be great. It could be Jon. It could be Tyrion. I mean, we don't know. I mean, the question is, are the people who know that Tyrion let Jaime out – are they alive? Does anyone know? I mean, Jamie's not around anymore. It's the other question is, what kind of trouble is Tyrion in? I mean, it's all regardless. Like, I mean, you know, no one, you know.
Well,
I'm not sure what you can say to somebody who goes that so completely insane. Like, good work.
Well, you, that's what I would really say. I don't want to burn.
You're really spurring the construction economy in King's Landing?
Let me say, I would say anything positive to Daenerys. I'd went, you showed them. You're great. You unleashed the dragon. This is wonderful. I have to be honest, and I want to talk more about Arya, but I'm going to jump to this because it just jumped into my head for a second. If Daenerys had done this as soon as she got to Westeros, it would have been tragic then. But all her forces would have survived. All her people would have survived. So many of her people died. You know, yes, she would have still had to face the Night King and stuff. But she, you know, Euron killed a bunch of the Iron Fleet that was the Iron Islanders that were supporting Daenerys. Euron led to the destruction of the Sand Snakes and the true support of Dorne. Daenerys lost, you know, the Tyrell family. Admittedly, at that point, it was only the Queen of Thorns, Olenna Tyrell. How much, you know, is this too terrible a thing to say, Catfish? Should Daenerys have done this immediately at the beginning of season 7 and saved herself a whole lot of grief?
Yeah, I think that's completely true. Yeah, I mean, what you have to think is that the idea is from season 7 until now, she changed into the person who would do this, and she wasn't before.
Okay. No, I agree. She didn't want to be, but now she is. Can you ever, how about this, can you ever come back from such atrocities? Is there any way Daenerys could walk through this destruction that she's done and seeing the precious waste of life, the waste of precious life, excuse me, not the precious waste of life, but is there any way she could come back to the side of sane? Or is this, it's just there's only one episode left, this is it?
I mean, I don't know. This shows to me such a blatant disregard for the other. You know what I mean? On her travels, the whole idea was, you know, she was the other at one time. The Dothraki were other to her. There were Unsullied. There were all these others that she met and brought onto her side. And so she seemed to have an affinity for the other, the people who weren't like her. And now it seems she's turned full on to, like, you've been with me to this point, or from now on you're my enemy and you're under my heel. Now that's sort of a little bit informed by the, you know, the 12-second preview of on next week on Game of Thrones. But I don't even think she wants their love anymore because she thinks she can't get it.
Man, that is a tough role there. Okay, so the episode kind of ends on some very cold stuff. Arya sees that family, as you mentioned, that the woman and her child charred to death. She comes upon a white horse, a pale horse, a pale rider, and she leaves. What symbolism did you take? What were your thoughts in this final bit where the ash is falling? It's just a disaster, and Arya sees this white horse, gets on the white horse, and is like, get me out of here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. I don't know whether this is working anymore. Sorry. Go ahead. My microphone is still screwed up.
Okay. Sorry, Catfish. What I was saying is Arya and the White Horse. What were your thoughts?
Well, I thought that, it's funny that it seems to come out of nowhere, but there were some clues to me. First of all, it didn't have a saddle, so it's clearly a Dothraki horse. And like for Dothraki horses, like being in the midst of all that carnage, that's like a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock for them. There's like no stress at all for them. So, I thought it was cool. It didn't seem miraculous in any way because, again, the Dothraki horses, like, I can see how they're completely chill with that kind of bedlam.
Some people here in the YouTube chat are mentioning how when Daenerys was putting a fire sail in King's Landing, a lot of times you would see these wide shots and you'd see green flames because Daenerys was setting off the wildfire. Oh, this is just the worst. Yeah.
I forgot to talk about the wildfire. That is crazy, and I didn't understand why. I mean, we all thought that the wildfire had already been used up. We've seen it used two different times, and I kind of thought, okay, we're out by now, but apparently not. Apparently there was some that was not used in King Joffrey's most triumphant moment and was also not used when Cersei decided to clean up the nefarious cult elements at King's Landing. You would have thought any wildfire left underground would have already burned up in that one.
No, they're going to actually, that's how the final episode's going to end. Somebody's going to say, hey, I found more wildfire. The end.
Love it. I love it.
All right, Catfish. This has been, a very rough episode that I really think is going to divide the super fans on whether they like it, they hate it, they like it even though they hate what happens in it. They like it. They like the beautiful sound, the beautiful score. And then there were plenty of moments of just kind of silence or just, kind of the natural sound here and the spectacle. So everybody's going to have an opinion. We've said ours. We want to hear yours. At DoublePHQ on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ, and on YouTube, search the Joffrey of Podcast. Catfish, we've got to wrap this up, but there's something we have to do at the end of every episode.
What you mean besides talk about what we think is going to happen on the very last episode?
No, that's it. That's the only thing we have to do.
Okay.
Sorry, it's just you sound like you're in a hole, so...
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, let's just talk quick about what we think is going to happen in the next episode. I mean, obviously, Daenerys has taken over. It's hard to see who's going to be able to even, frankly, to even get to her. I mean, she's going to be protected by a lot of people, and I don't think she's going to be, I think she's going to be a little bit leery of Jon, Tyrion, etc. So, I mean... Again, as I predicted last week, that Cersei would die this week. You disagreed with me, but that is why.
What are you talking about?
Disagree. You said I don't think I'm not so sure that Cersei's going to die next week, and I said she was going to. You can check the tape. I
check
to these
the
podcasts.
Tape, listeners.
You can listen. I listen to these podcasts because I love hearing your dulcet tones.
Okay.
And you said, I'm not so sure Cersei's going to die next week. And I said, Cersei's going to die next week, and then it's going to be who is going to knock off Daenerys. So, and the question is, who is going to knock off Daenerys? Is it going to be Arya as Jon? Is it going to be Jon? Is it going to be what? How is it going to go down?
I put it down now, listeners. I think it's Jon's going to do it.
All right.
And then I think Jon's going to. Say goodbye to everybody and drive and ride a horse north of the wall, find Ghost, and go to live out his days in solitude.
Well, peace out with Tormund and Brienne, who are now a couple.
Hey, now I don't see that happening so much. Listeners, tell us what you think is going to happen in this final episode. Tell us what you think any sweetness in this infamous bittersweet ending that's supposed to happen, because this whole thing, in my opinion, has been nothing but bitterness. There is a great shot of Arya, obviously, there in King's Landing, looking up at somebody very pissed off. How about the Dothraki, the ones who've survived, you know, the Dothraki who've survived everything they've been through this season? They seem to be cheering Daenerys, so some people like her methods.
Yeah, of course. The people on her side, the Blood Riders, sure, why not? All right, so again, before we leave, every time we have to do our Joffrey of the Week. And since I sound so horrible, Bubba, why don't you talk about your Joffrey of the Week?
My Joffrey of the Week.
Oh, no, you need to explain what the Joffrey of the Week is first.
Thank you, whole man. My Joffrey of the Week is any member of our technical support team that can't get Catfish's microphone to ever work. If you have Catfish, I want you to list your setup right now, what microphone you're using, what computer you're using, because this has been a tough season 8. Let's hear it.
Man, are you ready for me?
No, I want you to list what microphone you have, what computer you have, why things aren't working, and then I'm going to name...
I don't know. Okay, I have a Yeti Blue microphone, and the problem always seems to be that sometimes when I plug my headphones right into the microphone, that way I can hear myself, that then all of a sudden it starts getting scratchy. Other than that, and otherwise, usually when I plug my headphones into the computer, everything is fine, except I just can't hear myself.
And what type of computer do you have, Catfish?
I have a Mac.
What type? Boy, so descriptive.
I have a MacBook Pro.
Okay, listeners, if you can write to Catfish at CJGman67 on Twitter, whoever helps Catfish get this perfect for the very last episode of
it's
the show.
It's my microphone. Something's wrong with my microphone.
Whoever can help Catfish, you're my Joffrey of the Week. So that's my Joffrey of the Week. Let's hear yours, Catfish.
All right. Well, you didn't explain it too well. So the Joffrey of the Week is somebody who embodies some of the amazing qualities of Joffrey. As we all know, the greatest character, living or dead, fictional or real, in the entire history of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Such an amazing human being. And because he's so amazing, no one can aspire to be like him. But we can give you people that sort of have one of his qualities or a couple of his qualities, and we point them out so you can maybe aspire to be like them. So as we all know, Joffrey, he likes to get into battles. He's a little bit small. He's got kind of a little man complex. But he's always out there. He's always talking smack. And he is a capital W winner.
Yes.
So because of that, my Joffrey of the Week is Chris Paul.
Chris Paul from the Houston Rockets in the NBA America.
Yeah,
for people who don't get this, Catfish, why don't you go a bit deeper as to why Chris Paul deserves it, leading from the safety of the Red Keep?
Well, Chris Paul, he's the point guard for the Houston Rockets, who have been trying to defeat the Golden State Warriors for years and years, and they always have an excuse why they can't beat them. And then this year, the best player in the NBA this year plays for the Warriors, Kevin Durant. He went down, and so the Warriors had to play without him. They went to Houston to play, and Chris Paul led Houston to a Game 6 home loss against the Warriors. So because he was able to pull defeat from the jaws of victory, my Joffrey of the Week is Chris Paul.
Listeners, if you could make out what Catfish said, right? My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I'm Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter. And we'll talk to you next week.
As long as they're bells, we'll talk to you next week on the Joffrey of Podcasts. Catfish, I think you're actually in that chamber where Jaime and Cersei got...
No, you know what happened was, now if I pick the microphone for either output or input, then I can't hear anything through my headphone. So I was using my external Apple microphone at the end there.
All right, Catfish, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye. And listeners, you're going to get to hear me shut all this stuff off. So let's see if I can do it.
Do I sound better now?
Yeah, actually you did there for a second. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So now I sound better now.
Yay!
Should I redo my Joffrey of the